When was the last time that you took a look at your current spiritual disciplines? You may be like me, who is constantly assessing and trying to tweak my spiritual practices, or you could wonder what I'm even talking about. Well, friend, we have got you covered in this conversation with Rebecca Friedlander. We dive into all sorts of things like community, worship, and pilgrimage. Yeah, road trip anyone? Yes, please. Here we go. Welcome to the Faith School Podcast. This podcast is for women of faith who are ready to be transformed from the inside out, to integrate their life in faith, and to begin a life on mission. This practical podcast is not just a list of how-tos, but is here to prompt you to take action and adopt the kingdom way of life. Surrender to a holy God. My name is Leah, and I'm joining you in the messy middle of a surrendered faith. Come on in, take a seat. Class is now in session. To those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome. And to my old faithfuls, welcome back. Before we head into the show with Rebecca, there's just a few things that I'd like to note quickly. First off, we want to welcome everybody back to our Back to Basics series. This series has been such a joy to put together. I have loved all the conversations that I've had. I love that I've been able to share some of my own episodes. It has just been one of my favorite projects that we have worked on for the show, because it really does allow us to look at those basics and see where we are with them. Do we need to kind of realign with the Word of God when it comes to those basics, like community and the Holy Spirit and prayer? So much good stuff in there. And so if you haven't listened to any of them, or if you're new to the show and this is the first episode that you've listened to, welcome. Head back and listen to this series. I promise it is going to bless you, and there's going to be something that you can take away from it. And friends, we only have one more guest interview after this one. And oh man, it is so good. I feel like we saved one of the best for last in this series. But there's only one more. And then I'm going to have a quick recap episode. And then that's it. We are going on break for the podcast until April. And we're going to be introducing a new semester. So what we have decided to do is we are going to be hosting series, which we're going to call semesters, and we're going to go for about 3 months on and then take a few months off every time. We have just felt this is the best decision for us at this time, and we're actually really excited about what this opens up for us, what possibilities this opens up, and how we can expand as a ministry. It's for the better, and I am just so excited to see what God is going to do when we start to really focus in on what the semester is all about, and then take a nice breather, take a nice break, and then we head on in again. It's going to be so good, and I know you're going to be blessed by it. But to make sure that you don't miss out on when we're coming back or what our next theme is or anything like that, I want you to do a few things. I want you to join our newsletter. You'll find the link in the show notes. And I want you to follow us on Instagram, because I don't want you to miss anything else. Now, everything is in the show notes, but if you go on Instagram, you can go to @faithschoolpod, and that's where you're gonna find all the announcements about what's coming up and when. And trust me, all I can say is that you do not wanna miss a thing. All right, let's head into the show with today's guest, Rebecca Friedlander. Well, welcome, Rebecca, to Faith School. I'm really, really honored that you are here with us to talk about spiritual disciplines and your book, The Divine Adventure. This is really exciting. So I would love if you could just introduce yourself with some of your roles right now, and where are you recording from?
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Leah. This is so fun. Well, I live in East Texas, in a cabin in the woods.
Love it.
And that's where I'm coming from today. And basically a creative entrepreneur and missionary. So I love to use the creative arts and writing and music to really talk about the Lord and break down some of the things in scripture that maybe could feel a little bit confusing to people, but are just, you know, bright, basic, practical ways that we can draw close to God.
Yeah. I love that. I love that so much. That's a lot of the heart of our show. So you're a perfect, perfect fit right here. That's awesome. I know that you have a bit of a love of film and producing. I kind of geek out over stuff like that. So I would love to know a little bit more about where that love came from and what are some of the projects that you've done?
Well, I've always been a creative and I always wanted to do music. Like that was always my passion.
Yeah.
But I went through a season in my early 20s where God just had me put everything on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And what that has looked like over the years is many forms of creativity, including photography, which then turned into production with film. I started mm-hmm. with just a little program here in my local town. And it just grew. And I just poured my heart and soul, a lot of sweat and tears into that little program.
Yeah.
And now I do films all over the world. And they're on, have been aired on all the major English-speaking Christian television networks in the world, including, and some that don't speak English as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's been pretty crazy to see what God has done. Just, you know, when you're willing to work hard and run after that. So some of my films are about Celtic Christianity and the move of God that happened back in Ireland and Scotland and Northern England during the Dark Ages. So 1500 years ago. So I filmed some kind of docudramas and a lot of reenactments about just the massive move of missions and incredible stories that happened in the Dark Ages.
Wow.
And so those have been a couple of my shows. And I also did a series called Radical Makeovers, where I traveled around the world and I interviewed 50 women and did photo shoots, before and after pictures that tied in with their story of grace and how God had changed their lives. So that was a show that got turned into a book, and Baker House picked that one up. It's called Finding Beautiful is the book. And it's got pictures of the makeovers and the stories and the girls. It's really all about identity and authentic beauty. And then this project, The Divine Adventure, we're turning that into a TV show as well. So it's really just using different mediums, artistic mediums, to speak a message that you're passionate about. So film and video has been one of those things that's been useful for me.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. I love that so, so much. We have someone at our church that has put like a film into like the Cannes Festival. And I'm always like geeking out, asking him questions about what he's working on and all that. So I just think that's just the coolest thing, that we can use so many different gifts that God has given us to give him glory, especially through creativity. And it's just, I would love to just see that grow more and more within the church and us just using our creativity in that those ways to glorify him. That's just so, so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I want to talk a little bit about your book, The Divine Adventure. And I love the title. So I would love if you would just kind of tell us a little bit where that title came from.
Well, I love adventures. And I grew up in a very conservative homeschooling family.
Mm-hmm.
We had this idea of kind of pioneering that was sort of built in to the family history, I think. But when I really started following Jesus and really giving everything to him, he began to open up doors for bigger adventures than I had even imagined. Mm-hmm. So anyone who says following Jesus is boring, like I totally, we can have a conversation.
Yeah.
Because really, if you look into the Gospels, the people who followed Jesus in the New Testament church, they went on these amazing series of adventures as they followed God. And so I think that's really the pattern that we see, discipleship and following Jesus and walking closely with him. It's meant to call us out of our comfort zone. It's meant to bring us treasures that can only be found in a lifestyle of really pursuing Jesus with passion. And there's so many adventures that come along with that. And so that was really my heart behind the book, is to say, you know what, spiritual practices, it's really, or spiritual discipleship, all of those things, spiritual disciplines, you know, that can sound like even kind of a harsh term, but really practically it's ways that you can tap into the adventure that God has prepared to walk with you in this life, not just when we get to heaven, but like here and now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I want to go into a little bit more. I think you really did tap into something there where we hear spiritual disciplines and we're like, some of us would be like, well, that's just like religious. And like, I don't, you know, I just want an authentic relationship with Jesus. But actually, I found, and you have found, that spiritual disciplines are actually really rich and really life-giving and beautiful. And so I would love if you would tell us a little bit more about the importance of spiritual disciplines. And what do you believe spiritual disciplines actually do for our lives as believers?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I think if you think of like a romantic relationship, so many people approach God like an unsteady date. Is he really interested in me? You know, should I call him or wait till he calls me?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I don't really know what God actually feels about me. I know he's supposed to love me. I know that he died for me, but like me personally. Mm-hmm. And when we realize that God is actually initiating this love relationship, that he's pursuing us, that he says to us the same thing that he says to Adam in the garden. He's like, where are you? Mm-hmm. And when we press into that relationship, that's when we find that there's true love that's like really faithful and actually there for us.
Yeah.
And I think spiritual practices are real practical ways that are biblical that we can pursue God. Mm-hmm. And they're ways that it's kind of like this recipe and strategy to his heart. It's his heart love language. So if you want to connect with a person, you have to know them and have to know, wow, like, how do I connect? How do I get to know them? How do I foster this relationship? And, you know, like most things in life, it takes intentionality. Mm-hmm. But there actually are ways that you can practically nurture and grow your relationship with God. And so I think for all of us, going back to the romantic relationship idea again, there's times where, let's say you're dating somebody and you're just like, okay, now it's time. We've been dating for a while. It's time to start thinking about commitment. Are we really going to do this?
Yeah.
Or are we just going to be like social romantic friends, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, where's this going? And I think there's times in our walk with Christ as well, that we come to those junctures where it's like, am I really going to do this? Or am I just going to hang around the fringes of just the religious kind of circles? Or am I really going to plug in and put my faith into the test, put God to the test and see if he's really interested in going deep with me in some really practical ways? And spiritual practices and spiritual disciplines, that's what those things are. That's we have those tools and they're there for anybody who wants to pick them up.
Yeah. I love that analogy because I think that's just like spot on. It's very intentional. Even when you get married, you have to be very intentional about spending time with that person. Even when you're in a committed relationship, you have to set aside intentional time to grow and foster that relationship. Well, that's so good. All right. So we have talked a lot about disciplines on the show, but there's some that we haven't touched. And I would love to kind of talk a little bit more about these ones. So the first is pilgrimage that you wrote about. And I want you to just tell us like, what is that? And what does that look like in modern times? We've maybe heard of it before, but what does it look like in modern times?
Oh, I love that you brought that up. Pilgrimage is one of my favorite spiritual practices because it so ties in with adventure. And that's where my heart loves to go.
Yeah.
So the idea of pilgrimage goes back to Old Testament times where three times a year, all of the men, sometimes the whole family, would go up to worship God in Jerusalem. They had songs that they would sing as they went up to Jerusalem, the Psalms of Ascent that we see in the book of Psalms. They had things that they would do to encounter God's presence, because that's how he met with people, was in Jerusalem. And those three times of year, that was their pilgrimage season, where they would go and worship by taking the journey to meet with God.
Yeah.
And so in the New Testament, you know, 70 AD, the temple is destroyed. We don't have to go to a place to worship because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And yet at the same time, this idea of pilgrimage was a term that was used by the New Testament authors to talk about life being a journey, that our destination is actually not on this earth, that we're strangers and pilgrims. We're just sort of on this journey through life. And I think that was easier for them to maybe connect with than it is for us today, because so many times, you know, in those days, you didn't know if you were going to survive the persecution. There were so many people being martyred for the name of Christ. So it was really easy for them to just say, hey, we're just strangers and pilgrims passing through this life. And our real destination is just not here. Mm-hmm. But then when Christianity became legalized, kind of part three of the story is in the Middle Ages. And at that point, the church decided to bring back this idea of pilgrimage because they recognized that when you took an adventure with God to a holy site, it did something in your heart and to your faith by stepping outside of your comfort zone, going to Jerusalem, going to some of the other places where they were known to be sort of like these hubs where there was a lot of spiritual, you know, Christian activity that was there. If you went to those places, they believed that it actually helped you practice your Christianity. And as you went, you would meet people. And as you went, you would walk and you would pray. And you would have this close time with God that was stepping outside of your normal and meeting with Him. And they believed that the idea of pilgrimage was something that was a huge way to build your faith and grow your relationship with God. And so today, modern day pilgrimage, a lot of people would think of maybe going to Israel and taking a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. But it can really be anywhere that you want to go with the idea of, God, I need to hear from you. God, I want to connect with you in a deeper way. So I'm going to take some time to just travel and seek you. And sometimes that may have to do with going to places where God has really done amazing things in the past. Like I know for me, like going to Ireland,
right,
where there were these amazing stories where God had done so much back in the Middle Ages. And I was studying this history of the early Celtic saints and putting my hands on the stones. It just made it all come alive to me, you know, like, wow, there are millions of people that have gone before us in our Christian life, you know, that cloud of witnesses like that, those were real people. I'm just not the only one. My church is not the only group of people following Jesus. Like, this is a really big deal. And we can go to those places and it just really encourages our faith. And sometimes God can touch us and strengthen us in some really beautiful ways. So I know for me personally, I love going on pilgrimages, and some of those have tied in with some of the different film projects that I've done where I can kind of harvest those moments and bring them back to share with others. But it's been super transformative.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that so, so much. I'm thinking about some of the women who are going to be listening who are like, well, I can't take a trip anytime soon. You know, so what would that look like for someone who maybe can't wander too far? Is there anything that maybe they could adopt for pilgrimage there?
There's so many options and possibilities. When I was living in San Diego, I had a real passion to see what God was doing and what He had done in history in that area. And there was a mission that I discovered that was over 200 years old. And it was this beautiful old mission. It was the first one that had been planted in California. And from there, Christianity spread up the coast.
Wow.
And it was still open and they were still having services. And there was a beautiful little garden there.
Yeah.
And I just went and took a couple friends. And we just decided we wanted to go and spend the day, maybe take some lunch and just go and pray.
Yeah.
And for us, that was like a day trip pilgrimage. And we just had all these sweet moments of prayer and community with each other and just got refreshed. It was like, you can create your own mini pilgrimage. But then for some of us, it's maybe going to a conference,
right?
You know, that has a theme that we love. And, you know, maybe we go for a couple nights or whatever. And we set aside that time. I think it has more to do with intentionality and embracing that mentality of like, I want to take an adventure and I'm going to use this time for God. So maybe your pilgrimage is an afternoon, you know, and you go to a park or you go to a beautiful scenic location or you go to your church and you pray. But it's this idea that you can adopt that space and that mentality and apply it and kind of customize it to your world.
Oh, so good. So good. I love that so, so much. Yeah, it's very true. When you're very intentional in wanting to adventure with Him, the ways that He will show up is really, really cool. Like, He really does meet you in those spaces.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's so cool.
Mm-hmm. So the next one is worship. And I think a lot of us probably know there's more to worship than just music, but maybe some of us are kind of stuck in that space of worship only looks like when I am singing at church or something. Can you just help us to kind of expand our vision of what worship can be?
Absolutely. You know, if we look in the scriptures, the two words that are used the most often in the Greek language have nothing to do with music. when they refer to worship. They're translated worship in our English. One of them actually means a dog licking the hand of its master.
Huh.
And it's this image of coming alongside the Lord and just adoring him.
Mm-hmm.
And affection and friendship, just as if you would have a dog that you love or who mm-hmm. loves you and runs up to you and just, you know, wants to stick his nose in your hand
mm-hmm.
and have that close connection. It's this idea of connecting with the Lord and adoring him.
Yeah.
And that's actually a Greek word for the word worship. And that's the one that's used the most in the New Testament. Nothing to do with music.
Yeah.
All about connection. The second word that's used frequently in the New Testament is translated worship, but has the idea of service.
Mm.
And it's this idea of what you do to serve the Lord and to serve his people. So you could be worshiping by cleaning the bathrooms in yeah. your church. You could be worshiping throughout the day as you serve your family, and you're doing it out of a heart of, God, I'm going to honor you
right.
by, you know, do taking my kid to the bathroom and yeah. you know, all this stuff. Because when you do it out of serving him and,
right.
and dedicating your life to him, then really anything can be worship mm-hmm. that you're doing to him, toward him.
Yeah.
And so, and then later there's different words that in the New Testament bring in music. And of course, in the Old Testament, we have lots of words that are translated worship and praise. And it gives us this idea of bringing music and extending your hands and sometimes speaking loudly and even clamorously as you're worshiping. There's some really interesting things that we can break down as we look in scripture, but only some of them have to do with music.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for me, what that looks like, I came from a place where I was in church a lot as a kid, mm-hmm. and I didn't really understand connecting with God in worship.
Yeah.
I was drawn to it, but when he started meeting me in some really beautiful ways, I would just get down on my floor in my bedroom, just me and him, and put some music on or whatever, and just be mm-hmm. in that space of adoring him and worshiping him. And there was something in my heart that I felt like he just came in and unlocked, and I was able to just pour out on him and to receive his love. It's this idea yeah. of receiving the love of the Lord as well. So how we practice that, you know, we're all in different spaces. Some of us, maybe if we're super busy and, you know, if it's a mom who has little ones at home, you know, maybe the idea of service is actually one of the ways that we worship God the most.
Yeah.
But that actually is a form of worship when we're yeah. taking care of the things that matter to God. But sometimes it may mean, you know, playing worship music around our home and just creating this atmosphere of adoration to God.
Mm-hmm.
And then for creative souls like me, maybe it's doing what I did, which is getting an old piano off the internet and moving it out to my forest behind my house and creating a music video at sunrise.
Yeah.
So you're just like worshiping God on my land, lifting up the name of Jesus in my forest. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that you can get creative and practice worship in your life.
I love that. So to me, it kind of sounds like you're saying it's more of we can live our everyday lives and have a heart posture that is towards worship and adoring and servitude.
Yeah, absolutely. It's living your life running after the master and wanting to connect with him and adore him.
Yeah.
And music plays a big part of the tool. We can do that.
Yeah.
It's useful, but it's not the only way.
That's right. That's right. Okay. That's great, Rebecca. I think that helps clarify a lot for people. I think it's going to give people a lot of freedom. I think it's going to give these ladies a lot of freedom who are listening to be like, I can worship him in the day-to-day small moments of my life. So thank you for that. The next one is community. And I love that you included it as a discipline, because I think often we just think community is just something that's going to happen, or that I'm just going to be a part of a group of girlfriends and we're going to, you know, but community is a discipline. It is something that we do have to commit to. So I would love if you would just expand on that a little bit and why you would even consider it a discipline on its own.
That is a great thought, because I think back in the first century, it did happen naturally.
Right.
Because community was so part of their lifestyle. You know, if you look in the scriptures, right. It was like they were all together in the upper room. Jesus spent 3.5 years with 12 guys, you know, they lived together for that long. Right. The disciples were sent out 2 by 2. They had churches that met in their homes because of persecution. There were no church buildings mm-hmm. as we know them back then. So they had to be really connected and involved socially together. And our culture is so different, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, you get to choose if you're going to connect or not. You can exist very independently. Mm-hmm. And so what I discovered as I was researching for this book is that there's not a lot of teaching in the New Testament about community. Like you mm-hmm. need to do community. I mean, there's a little bit, like don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. And but so much of it did happen naturally. But what I did find was that it seemed like community for the early church came from this place where Jesus was speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper. And he said, this is my commandment to love one another. And it's really hard to practice that command if you're not in community.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so this idea of choosing to really say, God, what does it look like to have a group of people where I can practice this idea of loving one another through, you know, practical means, being there for people, but also, you know, letting them speak into my life a little bit and speaking into their life, that vulnerability that comes with community. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's easy to find, and sometimes you have to be a little more tenacious and create spaces for that to happen in your life. And so I think the idea of practicing community is something that it's a good thing to think about and go, wow, how is my community level in my life right now? And how well am I doing with practicing the commandment of Jesus to love other people and to let them love me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so important. It really is something that we have to reflect on, I think, regularly, and asking, how am I participating in the community that I'm involved in beyond just being present sometimes? So that makes, again, it makes it more of a discipline. I would love to talk about your creativity within spiritual disciplines, because I mean, you've already listed a few things, how you've included that creative side of yourself. And I think there's a lot of people that want to do that. They just don't really know where to start. So how would you encourage us to really lean into our creative side when it comes to our spirituality?
Well, if I can plug the book, I put something at the end of each chapter. That's an action point, something super practical that anybody can do, but it brings something hands-on that you can actually do kind of experientially with everyone in the spiritual practice. So that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
And I think once you give yourself permission to do that, I think so many of us, we don't want to mess it up.
Yeah.
And so we're sort of like, I don't know if I can really get creative because I don't want to like miss the boat or do something I'm not supposed to do or whatever. But that's why I like the idea of like having some concrete spiritual practices in front of you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, this is biblical. This is sound.
Right.
This is like based on scripture. Now, how can I apply this like in my own life?
Yeah.
You know, and then at that point, then you can start getting creative and even spend some time in prayer. And even like with the spiritual practice of prayer, I list all these different ways that you can pray.
Yeah.
Because all of us are different and the goal is connection, right? The goal is actually practicing prayer in a regular way with the Lord. And that, because he's made us all so unique, there are so many different ways and different biblical ways that we can do that. And really even as you unpack the scriptures, God spoke to everybody so differently.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't have just like one way of connecting with us.
Yeah.
Because he made us and he knows how unique we are. Mm-hmm. So within the parameters of biblical spirituality, there are so many ways that we can find ourselves free to really run after that place of connection in the way that he's made us to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. Take some time to kind of figure out which way that we best connect with God. I feel like that's a bit of maybe trial and error, but part of being creative is knowing that there's possibly going to be failure, or there's going to be, you know, we're not always going to find our best fit right away. Yeah, I think there's maybe a little bit of nerves around embracing our creative side for that reason, but it's worth it. It's worth fighting for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I want to talk about maybe just about the people who maybe feel a little leery of beginning to engage in spiritual disciplines, because of what I mentioned before, just maybe feeling, well, maybe this is more of a religious practice, and I'm not interested in a religious practice. But as we finish off our conversation, what would you give them as an encouragement and possibly some next steps for them?
Yeah, great question. I think our culture right now, when we think of spiritual disciplines, we think of discipline meaning punishment.
Right, right.
And that's not something that any of us are very interested in. So I think if we really go back to the word discipline, it actually refers to the word discipleship.
Mm.
Actually, this funny backstory, the book references spiritual practices. So it's Divine Adventure, spiritual practices.
Right, right.
And we actually chose practices over the word disciplines because of this clash in our culture right now that thinks, yeah, like, well, I don't want to be disciplined. Like, that's, you know, that's punishment. And unfortunately, that's just something that has changed in our culture, because, you know, even just a couple of decades ago, the idea of spiritual disciplines was actually a very much more positive term.
Right.
But really, the word disciplines comes from this idea of discipleship. And disciples were the ones that Jesus chose to be close to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that looking through the Gospels, that there's different levels of closeness to Jesus. You know, Jesus had the 500 who followed him, and then some of them got offended.
Mm-hmm.
He had the 120, you know, in the upper room. He had the 12. Then he had the 3, Peter, James, and John. And then he had John the Beloved. There were these different, like, realms of closeness to him. And really, I think it's the same for us today. Like, what do we want to do? How much do we want to just embrace this relationship?
Yeah.
And this coveted place of being one of his disciples, mm-hmm, and his followers. And spiritual disciplines are just some of the ways that we can walk that out, that are just super practical, like anybody can do them. There's no huge mystery. You don't have to like sit in a cave for 3 years. You know what I mean? Like, you can like pick these, they're just tools to tap into that place of depth and intimacy and discipleship and closeness with Jesus. And I hope that everybody who picks up the book can use it in a very it's not a condemning kind of book. It's actually,
for sure,
people have told me it feels like a big hug.
Yeah.
But it's very also practical, just giving them those tools to go deeper with their love life with Jesus.
Yeah. Well, it really is a gift of a book. I am excited to finish reading it because I've started it, but it really is a gift. And as someone who, you know, I already participate in some of the practices and disciplines, I'm finding it to be very, very rich in that there's so much more to discover, and that makes it exciting. There's so much more of an adventure for us to pursue with God. So I thank you for what you've done and what you've given us, and that you've been obedient to God's will in writing this book. So thank you for that, Rebecca.
Aw, thank you, Leah. Appreciate you and all you're doing too.
Aw, thank you. Well, we have just a few concluding questions that we like to do. Because the show is called Faith School, we have some kind of school questions that we like to ask. And one of them is just, what are some resources that you would recommend to us about this topic, of course, beyond your own book?
That's a really good question, because we kind of wrote this book because we couldn't find another one out there to recommend. So,
yeah, that's fair.
So I guess I probably just suggest people just really dive into the Word, and in Scripture, because there's so much creativity in Scripture, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners do that already. So that's a no-brainer. But really, just even praying before you get in the Scriptures, and just be like, God, will you speak to me today?
Yeah.
You know, will you make this come alive to me today?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, the Scriptures are the only book that we can sit down with the author at our side every time we open.
That's right.
And read it. And so I think just remembering that is a powerful tool.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone pointed it out. I don't remember who it was, but they were saying, you know, when you're reading through the Gospels, even just through there and watching Jesus and the way that he did disciplines, the way that he lived his life, we want to study not only his character, but the way that he lived his life, the ways that he approached his relationship with God. And so even if you're just reading through the Gospels themselves, I found that very, very helpful in my own spiritual life to be able to just watch him.
Oh yeah. That's so good. And that's the position of a disciple, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Not to know just what he's saying, but why he's saying it, how he's living, asking those deeper questions.
That's right. That's right. So the next one is, what is a spiritual practice or discipline that has been really life-giving to you right now?
Well, the one I struggle with the most, what I probably need to lean into, and it does bring life, is the discipline of rest. Because I'm a doer.
Yeah.
I love to get things done. And I'm all about the adventure. And I think probably connecting with God in that space of rest sometimes can feel a little boring.
Yeah.
For my personality type.
Yeah.
And yet it really is life-giving. And one thing that I really discovered in writing this book is that God introduced the concept of rest to his people in different ways, but it was always that he was giving them a gift.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think it's life-giving to continue to shift our mindsets on some of these things.
Yeah.
Where rest may not be what my personality is most naturally gifted at doing. It's one that brings a lot of life. And even this week, we're getting ready to do a spiritual retreat here at the cabin. And I ran into a little bit of some congestion and a bit of infection in my lungs. So I had to like take a little time out and I have to lean on my team a little bit more this week. And for me, it's like, oh, I just want to get it all done. I want to take care of everybody. Like I'll be the responsible one. And yet it really is a good thing that is humbling. It's like, oh, I can't do everything all the time. That's okay. That's good. It's a good thing. And it's life-giving. It enables other people in my life to be there and to do what they need to do in community, you know? But it's not the most exciting one for me. But it's really, it's good. And I need to, I find that every time I lean into it, like it's a good thing.
Oh, so good. And so, so true. The next question that we have is, if you could assign one piece of homework to our listeners, what would it be?
I would say if you pick up a copy of the book, read down the list of disciplines.
Yeah.
And see which one makes your heart curious. Because usually where there's a curiosity, there's a longing. And sometimes that's what God uses to woo us into a new place of journey and discovery with him. So I would say, and even in this conversation, if there's anything that your listeners hear that makes them curious, I would say take that as a little prompt. Just note that. And then sit down and go, huh, God, is there something here that I can explore with you? Even maybe I've been doing this, but maybe in a next level way. That would be my suggestion.
I love that. I love that. The last one is there anything else that you would like to share with my listeners at all? Any last encouragement or anything that you'd like to share?
Boy, the one thing I would love to be a takeaway is that, wow, God loves you so much and you matter to him.
Yeah.
And there's this thrill of adventure that he invites every one of you into. That place of longing that you desire to go deeper with him. You know, he's the one who puts that into your heart. And so if you're willing to invest, you'll find him there.
I love that. I love that. So good.
He's that good of a partner in relationship. So just keep pressing in and seeking more of him. And like any good relationship can always go to new places. When both people are willing, right? And we know he's willing.
That's
and
right.
So we just get to take him up on his offer for more.
I love that. That's so good. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for being on. This has just been a lovely conversation. I can't wait for people to hear.
It's been sweet. Thank you, Leah.
Thank you to Rebecca for coming on to the show. I just want to thank you for your creativity and your obvious devotion to the Lord. And if you want to catch up with Rebecca on social media and say thank you for her coming on the show, or just to grab a copy of her book, The Divine Adventure, I want you to go to today's show notes for all the links. Next episode. We have such an amazing conversation around, honestly, one of my favorite topics to explore, which is apologetics. Jeremy Jenkins from All Things All People will be with us, and Jeremy is such a wealth of knowledge on worldviews, and he has such a heart for the lost. Do not miss this one. As we conclude our Back to Basics series, make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast player so you do not miss it. If you want to catch me on the socials, you can find me at leah.remple or at faithschoolpod on Instagram. I'm happy to continue serving you on those platforms. Thank you for spending a little time with us today at Faith School and I-68 Ministries. We are praying that you feel fully surrendered today to the God who made you, loves you, and wants to partner with you. Class is now dismissed. Go out there and reveal His kingdom.